Last week we picked up $741.50, and I just want to encourage you, be faithful. Be faithful. You know, God says in His Word, faithfulness is something that He looks for in His people. Really, faithfulness. And you might say, well, Pastor, how do I get that? The things that He shows you in His Word, just be faithful to obey those things. Just be faithful. You might say, I'm going to mess up. You will mess up. What you do is you get on your knees or wherever you're at and you say, Lord, forgive me and help me. And help me to overcome, Lord. And you look and you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary. And you ask Him for forgiveness and you go on. And don't let that thing hold you down anymore. But thank you for your faithfulness. Be faithful with your tithes and offerings to the church. Because the blessings come when you give to the place where God says to. And the anointing and the presence of God and His blessings are poured out upon His people. It says that He'll bless us more than we could ever contain it. And that goes not just a physical thing, but also spiritually, the insight into His Word and all kinds of other things. So be faithful in your tithe and offerings to the church. And I want to thank you again for your giving. It astounds me. And I thank the Lord for it, and we're able to do all the things that we're able to do. Praise God. Also, a matter of note, next Sunday is our dedication and anniversary of our church. You might say, how many years have y'all been here? 3.5 years. We're having the half anniversary. We kind of, you know, it was in November 3 years, and I said, well, we're going to wait till we're in our building, and, you know, and so it came out to 3.5 years, so we're going to celebrate the dedication of this building. I am determined with all of my heart that every building that God gives us will be used for the glory of God and not for silliness, but for the glory of God, that He will be exalted in all of these buildings as we gather together. And that is next Sunday. We're asking if you haven't signed the list back there, there's a list of things we'd like for you to bring if you can. If you're able to look at it, and if you're able to do that, sign your name. And we're asking for every family to bring a dessert of some kind. Now, I know Leonard will, Ms. Gail, going to have to make probably double because she'll have to make enough for everybody, you know. But that's okay. But, no, we ask that if you can, you know, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, it's tight and I can't. Don't worry about it. Hey, look, don't worry about it. Just come. You are more important than a dessert. Ooh, that's good, huh, Cheryl? You like that? That's good. Cheryl, you're more important than a dessert. Cheryl, my Lord, I got the, yeah. That's good, that's good. I like it. That's right, that's right. You know, Jesus came, and He didn't die for dessert. He died for people like you and I. That's the most important thing. So you know what, if you're able to, please, you know, bring a dessert. And I'm asking you today as our home people, we need help next week. We need some help as far as, you know, helping to serve maybe people, you know, and stuff. And so I need some help, guys, you know, because we are, you know, we did send out letters. Did everybody get a letter? Yeah. Okay, making sure we don't want anybody left out. Okay. Cheryl didn't get a letter. Say, no, 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 Cheryl. I have to put some name tags. No, 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 no. Cheryl's over there. Cindy's here. Cindy, you didn't get a letter? You don't check the mail. That's okay. Oh, but look, the letter's a good thing. Yeah, Cindy has to be here next week. You know why? She's making all the black eyes. Cooking. So, but if you didn't, please let us know and we'll get one to you, definitely. And please invite people. You can invite whoever. And inviting them, please don't ask them to bring a thing. Just themselves. You know, we want to bless the people. I want to thank you, you know, for all that you have helped us to accomplish here. But most of all, we want to exalt our Lord and thank Him for His blessings. I don't ever want to be a thankless pastor. I want to be thankful for the people He's put in our place and also thankful to Him and what He's given unto us. So next week, it starts at 10 o'clock. So next week when you come, bring all your stuff to the other building across the street, okay? Desserts and all that stuff. We're going to have tables set up and everything. We're trying to get a tent, you know, whatever. And look, next week, you know, we in no rush after church. You know, we'll go in there. We'll sit as many people as we can sit. They have a tree in the back. We'll put tables under there. We'll hopefully, if anybody has a tent of any kind, bring it. Set it up back there. We'll put tables and just have a good time. And just fellowship with one another. And just relish in the glory of our God and what He has done for us. And just showing appreciation. Is that everything as far as with the... Yes.
This coming week, there are a bunch of different things that anybody can go help.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you can do.
Okay.
We've got some morning finishing.
Oh, okay. Alrighty.
Nursery stuff, different minor things.
Okay. Alrighty.
As much help as we can get to
get sure.
The trim up done, even if it's after work. I don't mind staying till later on.
Okay, so if anybody's available, if you're able to come, just do, I know that you're probably saying, what things, you know, but there are a few little things here or there, and that's okay, you know, but if you're able to come and help, yeah, they have a list, there are some things that need to be done, a few little things, you know, and so we appreciate your giving and stuff. Also, a matter of note, the big announcement. We have a new babe. We have a new member in our church. The what? Yeah, that's going to be the first baby dedication that we know. Well, no, I think we did. No, didn't? No? Okay, I wouldn't. That's different. So here we do have an announcement. We, as most of you know, that... Jess and Joe had little Isabella Joe yesterday at 8:27. And so Papa, Grandma, Mama, Papa, Malu, all the aunts and uncles and everybody else, we're all excited. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers and support. And, you know, just the phone kept going off, you know, just texting. And we thank you. Thank you for caring. And we certainly do appreciate that. She weighed 7 pounds, 3 ounces, and 19 and a half inches long. And so she is in ICU for 48 hours. And pray for Jess and Joe, you know, that because she did have a C-section and, you know, they had to do that way. So pray that God would bring healing and she'd have a quick recovery to be able to take care of her, you know, and all that stuff. So we are excited about what God's doing. So we have another member, Anna. You sent him a letter? You sent her a letter? Oh. Okay. Yeah, that would be cute. Isabella, Joe. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Also, matter of note, if you'd like to help with Children's Church, we're going to be starting that, I think it's the 15th of next month. If you'd like to help, you know, with teaching or just help, you know, with stuff, please sign up. And also for the nursery, if you'd like to do that. Amen. I think that's all the announcements. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word. And Lord God, we pray that as we study your word today, that it would penetrate my heart and the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, say, this is life. Yeah, I stayed up late last night. Lord bless it. No, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. Brian, don't laugh. He's laughing over there. Wait. He can, that's right. Okay. Oh, amen. No, we did get home late. Because you know what? We were there and we wanted to see our daughter. We wanted to make sure she was okay. And so we stayed late. Late. That's right. Huh? I was ready to go all night, man. They had some vending machines. I knew, hey, look, we were ready. That sofa's where we were going to sleep. Can I rent a room, please? But, amen. Well, you know, tomorrow is a holiday. And tomorrow is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. It's not like Veterans Day. It's to remember all the men and women who served in the military but died doing it. It originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. By the 20th century, Memorial Day has been extended to honor all Americans who have died while in the military service. So you see, it's to remember. You know, and I don't know if anybody here has a family, you know, somebody that died in the military. I'm not sure. I know we have, you know, many of our fathers and maybe brothers and even maybe people here that have served. But tomorrow, we're going to remember these men and women. You know, the ultimate price that they paid for us. The ultimate price that they paid for us. You know, Memorial Day is, you know, to remember all these men and women who have paid the price. But I was thinking, you know, I said, you know, how much more should we remember? You know, we serve in the Lord's army. How much more should we remember the one that died in service for us? The one that died for us. Really had a choice, because he didn't have to. Basically, there was no benefit basically on his part, except reconciliation with us, because he loved us so much. But to remember our God, to remember and to pinpoint it even closer to that, to remember what Jesus did, our commander-in-chief, in dying in military service for us, fighting for us. Now, we know, you know, ultimately, we know he was going to win. I mean, that's a gimme. But he still had to go through all the things that he would have to go through, from the beatings to the pulling of hair and beard and his back being stripped of meat, you know, just hanging on a cross with no clothes on. Just that is humiliating. But he took it because of his love and his caring for his people. In the Lord's army, you know, we all are part of the army of the Lord. You know, we sing that song, I'm in the Lord's army. That's the kid's song. I'm in the Lord's army, you know. We're all in the army of our God. He is the commander-in-chief. He has died in military service, if you want to put it that way, for you and I, so we could have liberty and freedom today in his spirit. We are part of the greatest army of all, of any earthly army, the greatest army in all the world. This army consists of all nationalities. It's an amazing thing. You know, Jesus didn't come and just die for the Jewish people, which a lot of them thought that's the only reason he came, for them. and they tried to keep it with just them. But it says that Jesus came and was born and died and resurrected not only just for the Jewish people, but also for the Gentile people, which is all of us. Every nationality, can you imagine, is represented in the kingdom of God, in the Lord's army. Can you imagine? There's every nationality. I looked. There's a fly or something, whatever. I looked to see how many countries are there in the world. And there are 196 countries in the world. And we can rest assured, because of how strong our commander is, that's Jesus Christ, that there are people in every country on the globe, in this world, that has given their hearts to the Lord, that are Spirit-filled, full of the Spirit of God, in the Lord's army. 196 countries. No other earthly kingdom has that. Because you see, His kingdom is not made up of this world, but it's made up of His world.
Amen.
196 countries are represented in His army. All nationalities. His army crosses over every border that a man has made. And you might say, what does God's army do? God's army tears down the enemy's army. God's army goes into a place and preaches the Word of God and sees people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. People healed by the presence of God. People set free of depression. Seeing God financially bless the people and move upon a country. That's why, you know, I was reading something and it said, much Bible, much freedom. No Bible, no freedom. Makes sense. Communism, no freedom. Democracy, freedom. Much Bible, much freedom. Goes hand in hand. Can you imagine? Look in all the countries of the world where Muslims and all these people are that don't have the true gospel, that don't have the Word of God, the Bible, being preached. And you will see women that are tormented, that are oppressed by evil spirits and by man. But you take a country or a people that has been liberated by the presence of God, and you see the Bible being lifted up, and you will see much freedom, not only physically, but freedom in the spirit realm. Freedom, freedom. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. No nation is better than another. Now, I have more pride in America than any other nation because that's where I'm from. And I think it is the greatest nation. It is. That's why so many people want to come here, because of the freedom and the liberty. How you can come over here dirt poor and make it and have your own company. That's God. You can't go anywhere else and have that happen. Still today. In every nation. But in every nation that he feareth him, every nation is open unto him. God is open unto this world. We, as a church, need to keep pressing forth, keep preaching the Word of God, see the power of God manifested like never before. Don't back up and don't speak when you know you need to speak and stand up for the things of God. Don't back up and be sheepish, but stand up and stand firm upon the rock of God and speak forth the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Speak up and tell them it's Jesus and no other way. No other way but him. Jesus came to bring freedom to his church, his people, and his children. The greatest veteran of all time is Jesus, the one who rose from the grave. It says in the garden, God told Adam that he would eat freely. He could eat freely from the fruit of every tree, Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shall he not eat. For in that day you shall eat of it, and you shall die. That's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But it says that Adam ate of the tree, and he died. He didn't die physically right away, but he started to die spiritually. And then physically he died. And he began to die physically that day. More importantly, he died spiritually. His sin caused a separation between himself and God. Can you imagine? It caused a separation between him and God. He needed to make an atonement for his sin, but was powerless to do so. Thus began the greatest theme of the Bible, God's plan of redemption. That's the theme of the Bible, the plan of redemption. You and I are so important to God that right at the moment, even before that if you want to say, but right at the moment when Adam and Eve sinned and separation, there was a block between God and man. The redemption plan started right away. Now, and you might say, what's the redemption plan? To bring Jesus upon the scene, to die on the cross, for him to go to the Father, present his blood. He accepts it because it's perfect, and we have freedom. Now we can have liberty and freedom like it once was before Adam and Eve sinned. That we can still have that freedom today. The plan of redemption. Death was the penalty for sin. That was the price that had to be paid. The law of Moses called for the sacrifices of bulls and goats. Their life was given and their blood was shed, but to no effect. When Adam and Eve sinned, it says right away that God took an animal and killed it. Made them their clothes. There was shedding of blood. Shedding of blood. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it says this, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." It was absolutely impossible. It could cover it so God could still bless the people, but it could not take it away. It was a man's soul that was lost in the garden. An atonement required a man's death. But it could not be any man. It had to be a sinless soul lost in Eden. Only a sinless man could make an atonement. Thus, the perfect Son of God had to die. Put up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I know I'm going kind of fast through this because I need to get what I really want to get to. But I kind of need to put a little foundation there. "For he hath made him to be sin for us," talking about who? Jesus. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." For he has made him, who? Jesus, to be sin for us, to take it upon himself, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Talking about our hero, our military hero, Jesus. Jesus. Only in the death of Jesus is this wrong made right and God's righteousness judgment satisfied. In the cross we see the painful reality of what has been said. He paid a debt he didn't owe, but he owed a debt we could not pay. Reconciliation is what God wanted with us. Can you imagine if God wouldn't have done anything after Adam and Eve sinned? I mean, just left us to our own. The earth would be destroyed today because man would have destroyed it. Man would have destroyed people because you can see around the world today the horror that goes forth. You know, this week I kind of read on the Yahoo News, you know, the guy, the abortionist doctor, with Goslin, I think that's his name, whatever. I don't know how a man in his right mind, or woman, could be, you know, it just happened to be him, could try to give an abortion to a woman and it fails and the babies are born. And just destroy it. Satan brings death. God brings life. When I even think of it, it hurts my heart. How anybody could do that to a baby. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, it says this. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. It says that Jesus abolished it, making peace with God for what his blood could do. Now this is what I wanted to get into next. There had to be reconciliation between man and God. Had to be. Because God wanted it. He created us. And he saw how the enemy came in and really tried to bring destruction upon us. And succeeded to a certain point. But God also had to make a plan. And God had a plan from the foundations of the world to bring his Son to reconcile us back to the Father. And it only could be done by the blood of a sinless man. So God sent his Son to be born of a woman. As Jesus got nothing from the woman or from Joseph, nothing. It was the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. It was endued with power. She became pregnant and she became a holding place for him. He was born. He lived 33 and a half years. Then it says that they went to crucify him. You know the scenario of all that stuff. But what I want to talk about a little bit, because we're talking about he's our hero. Jesus is our hero. I want to look at a few things that he did between his death and resurrection. From the time he died to the time he went and was seated right next to the Father, well, on the right hand of the Father. What happened in that time? Man, he is our God. What did he do? Let's read some things. This will get you shouting. Because you don't serve a dead God. You serve a God that has conquered everything in the world. You serve a God that has changed everything. And can change our hearts and change our lives. That can make the wrong right. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look at this. Matthew 27. It says, well, let's look at verse 50. We can read verse 50. It says, page 1707. Somebody said amen? Oh, okay. Oh, Lord. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That means his spirit left. He died. Okay. Now, it says that he cried with a loud voice. I mean, he hollered, did something. Man didn't take his life. Yes, they had to do certain things to make it die or whatever. But he gave it up. He gave it up willingly for us. And it says, after he did that, it says, verse 51, and behold, the veil in the temple. In the temple, they had the Holy of Holies, and it kept getting wider. But in the Holy of Holies, they had a temple. And that veil, they said, was about 6 or so inches thick, was the place where God was at. That's where he lived, so he could live upon the earth within the people. And it says that when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. That's the kind of hero you serve. That's the kind of God you serve. That said, look, this time of being in this place is over. And I'm going to meet my people. I'm going to be with my people. And it says that it tore open. And what happened was the Spirit of God came out. Now, quite honestly, nothing can keep the Spirit of God in a room. But there was a point being made that he came out the way that he went in, through the opening. And he tore that veil from top to bottom and came out. Then it says, after that, it doesn't say how long, it says that there was an earthquake. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the hero of your God. That's him. It says that there was an earthquake, guys, that shook that place. Can you imagine if you were one of the Pharisees, Sadducees, anybody around that place, and all of a sudden you see some saying he's the Son of God, some saying he's fake, some saying he's not who he said he was. But after the veil was rent in two, they see that happen. Then they see an earthquake happen. My God, and feel it. You know what, some people, I'm telling you, right after that veil was split in two and they saw, some people ran to it and started sewing it back up. I'm telling you. When the Spirit of God moves, He will split things wide open. And He will work in our hearts. And He will help us to see things that we never saw before. Let God move in your heart and life. Then it says, then it says that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, put that scripture, Hebrews 9, 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When Jesus died, the veil was rent in two. The earthquake happened, and it was just a series of events. He went to the Father, and he presented his blood to the Father. And the Father accepted it and said, final payment. It's like a stamp of approval. Boom. Paid in full. So we should never try to go back and sew up the veil by our works. Now, works are important in a certain area. But we don't work to get salvation. You can't do it. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. There isn't anything we can do to earn sanctification. It's already been paid. Now, God wants us to do things to glorify Him, but it does not help us with our relationship with Him. It's already done. It's already paid for. All the works. Works cannot do it. It's already paid for. Victory has already been won in your heart and in your life. The chains of bondage, God has already broken off of your heart and life. If you look to the cross, look to Him, look to Him, look to Him, and nothing else. Don't look and don't go to God and say, well, Lord, I've read your word. And He'll say, that's good. Well, Lord, I read 10 chapters today. That's good. This is what we think. I read 10 chapters. I'm doing pretty good. Huh? I know it. Now, is reading the Word of God important? It sure is. Because we need to know the laws of God. We need to know Him. Well, Lord, I got up 30 minutes early today and I prayed. I'm doing good. It's not brownie points. We need to get up and pray. We need to seek our God. We need to fast and pray and do all those things. But it will never bring salvation or sanctification. Never. It won't do it. That's not God's plan. Even though all those things are very important and we have to do it. He was slain for us upon the cross and entered into death for us. He went to heaven and entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, sprinkled His blood upon the mercy seat before the throne of God, forever settled the sin question, and delivered us from the curse of the law. It says, from the time that Jesus died till he was seated next to the Father, something else He did. It says that Jesus, let me back up a little bit. Before Jesus died on the cross and all that stuff, when Old Testament saints died, they would go to a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise. Oh, somebody's phone. She'll keep them in line. Hey, look, my phone went off in church too. So I think somebody was speaking or something, huh? Was it? I don't know. But there was a place called Abraham's bosom. It was called our paradise. Now, it says that this was a place, and reading on the scriptures, it says that this was a place not so much in heaven where God was, but paradise or Abraham's bosom, now you have to get this, was a part or a section of hell. Now we kind of like, oh my God, because when we think of hell, we think slew foot, we think of torture, we think of pain, all that stuff. But the place called paradise was a section of hell, but it wasn't the place where they were tortured. It wasn't a place where there was constant fear and heartache. None of that. It was a holding place, if you want to put it that way. In Luke chapter 16, look at this. Luke chapter 16, verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels." Listen to this. Remember when the beggar died? Stop right there. Carried by angels. Do you understand that when we are going to die, that angels come for us? Commissioned by God. Go and get my son. Go and get my daughter. The beggar was escorted by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. It says, "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Not left in hell. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? This is what I want you to see. Something else happened. In verse 7, if page 1707, Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. Something happened here. Jesus went get those people. That time of when He died, and before He was seated next to the Father, He went and He got those people in paradise. Now, a few of them made a pit stop before they went to heaven. You might say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Look at verse 52. It says, "And the graves were opened, And many bodies of the saints, talking about Abraham, could have been Moses, could have been Rebekah, could have been Noah, could have been Isaac. All those saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Now, can you imagine that? That's the hero you serve. That even when they died in the Old Testament, he went after them. After he presented the blood to the Father, it was accepted by the Father. He said, I'm going to get my people. And he went to that burning side, which was not tormented, but they couldn't go to heaven yet. That's why it was so important, guys. You know, we think of when Jesus died, it was so important. He went get these people. And it says that their soul and their spirit lined up with their bodies in the graves, and they came out of those graves and they went to Jerusalem, some of them, walking around. Can you imagine? That some look out and say, isn't that Noah walking on the street? Yeah, the saints. Some of them. It doesn't say how many. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the hero you serve. That when it was time for him to pay the price, he paid it and he didn't forget anybody. That's a lesson. He never forgets his people. He never forgets his people. You might feel, Joe, Pastor, I don't know if God's concerned about me. Yes, he is. He's concerned about every problem that affects you. He's concerned about all the things that happen to you. And he wants to solve it. He didn't leave those people in paradise because, you know, they still were separated from God. He went and got them, and some made a pit stop according to Scripture. If I was anybody in Jerusalem and I saw old Noah walking around, talk about fall on my knees and ask forgiveness. You might say, was Adam and Eve there? I don't know, because it never says they reconciled back to God. I don't know. Look what happened. My God. Then he takes them and they go back to heaven. Or they go to heaven with him. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Something else happened, guys. Your God is a great God. Your God is a great God. Don't ever let anybody put down your God or say things that aren't correct about him. My God, he's the God of the gods. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, for which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Or you can say hell. And when he talks about spirit, he's talking about demon spirits. Can you imagine this? Your God. Your hero. After he was resurrected, and before he sat next to the Father, something else he did. Honestly, what I think, but I can't tell you for sure, but I'll tell you what I think. He went and rescued those people, his saints, got them back, got them to heaven where they should be. Then he went to another side of hell. That was the tormenting side. And it says that he preached to the spirits. Now, it does not refer to human spirits. It's not human beings. It's referring to demon spirits. Can you imagine? It does not say what he preached. But I can imagine when they saw the King of Kings, your God, come into that place. He walked up and he said, spirits, let me tell you something. Let me tell you the victory that has come to my people. I have gone and I've rescued them, and they're in heaven, the ones that have died. And I'm raising up a church that will destroy you. I don't know what he preached, but I know when he got up there, he preached. He preached. He preached. Your God stood up in front of evil spirits that have tried to destroy you and destroy him and bring destruction upon the church. And he said, you cannot do that any longer. Freedom has come. I've delivered them and they're set free by the Spirit of God. My God, can you imagine that he took the time to go? That's your God. That's your hero. That's the one that died for you. That's the one that was in military service for you and for me to stand up. And I tell you what, our God is not afraid of any of those evil things. Because you see, honestly, he made them anyway. Now, he made them right. And they chose a different direction. And I don't know what he said. And it doesn't say how long he preached to them. But they couldn't move, I know that. They had to listen. Can you imagine how they felt? You know. But I tell you what, I know this. It says in Scripture that every demon spirit, every fallen angel, and all those evil things are subject unto our God. Subject unto our God. And he has given us authority over those things. Not in what we have done or what we can say or what we can do, but it's who we know and who we put our trust in that we can speak to those things and tell them to leave our children alone, to leave us alone, to leave our church alone, and to take his hands off of people's souls so they can be saved. God has given us that authority, not in us, but in him and what he has done. Can you imagine? Can you imagine as he preached to them? Many things happen. Then it says, there's many things, but also it says that he went to Mary Magdalene because she didn't know where he was. And he said, don't touch me. But anyway, really, that shouldn't have been translated that way. You can read it in your Bible. Basically, what he was saying, don't detain me. Don't detain me. Don't hold me back. Because I got to go to my Father. It says, look. From the time Jesus died to the time he sat on the right hand of the Father, it says that for 40 days he was roaming the earth and getting things done. We often think, well, right away he went, you know, he presented his blood, that's right. But he didn't sit down next to the Father and take his rightful position for 40 more days. Because he had business to take care of. He had demon spirits he had to go preach to. He had a Mary Magdalene sitting that needed help. He has Gaydon International Church that he has to take care of. He has us. He has to come and help us. That's the kind of God. Then all of a sudden, after the 40 days, it says that he came. And God had prepared a place for his son. God. Jesus didn't say, you know, Jesus didn't tell the Father, and I know there are three, but yet one. But he didn't tell the Father, you make a place for me. No. But when those 40 days were over, people, God said, come. And Jesus came and sat on the right hand. This is my right, okay? Of the Father. His mission was done. The job was done. Reconciliation between man and the Father was done. It was all paid for. And because of Jesus obeying, we could have freedom. Many things happen that I can't even touch on because of time's sake. That's just some high points. I tell you what, I love it. He went preaching those demons. I wish I could have been there. Just there. Not in the front, in the back of them. But looking. And Jesus preaching. It doesn't say that Jesus, because you know what preach means? To herald the word of God forth. Jesus was heralding himself to them. Look. Look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. When you thought I would die and the people would not have any reconciliation to me, look what happened. Bringing it back together. Bringing it back together. The price he paid for you and I goes over and above what we ever deserve. But you know the scripture, John 3:16. For God, let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, thank you. Because of him. Reconciling us back to him and what he did. I mean, why don't you stand, please? Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we